What is wisdom? A good, although greatly oversimplified example of a tiny bit of wisdom is an inspirational movie scene where visuals may fill in for the lack of content. And it is always just a scene, maybe two, but never more. Because movies never tell a functional story. Movies are the chicken scratch version of well-narrated books, preferably read by their authors. Allow me to give you three examples of movie scenes with a sprinkle of some expanded ideas in the area. In 1997's Good Will Hunting, you hear, "You wasted $150K on an education you could have got for $1.50 in late charges at the public library." This quote fails to mention that this $150,000 gets you a diploma that opens doors, not better or higher doors, just other doors. As a result, we have liars in politics, doctors that cause drug epidemics, high-ranking officials that think UFOs are real, and a lot of people in debt. And the idea of standardized education is a fantasy, as we can't really learn in a lowest common denominator sequence. It's way too noisy to stick. Only self-directed education can ever work, and replicating college education with books from the library is a terrible waste of time. It's actually kind of stupid. We have to navigate the constellation of our own curiosities that we have the power for, and only then can we really make lasting contributions to humankind. Be careful when hoping to win the great prizes, too. Wherever there is prestige, there will be massive amounts of fraud. In 2006, Peaceful Warrior, the main character, upon some contemplation, states, "There are no ordinary moments." But it is probably better to just say that all moments are special, that no day should ever be thrown away. Nor should anyone go through life waiting for Wednesdays that mark the middle of the week and thus passage of time. Or worst yet, Thursday, which marks a person to be so stressed out as to need to mess with their brain chemistry and alcohol. And almost as bad is waiting for Friday. If your life starts at the end of the week, and that is not really living at all. In 1994's Renaissance Man, we get, "The choices we make dictate the life we lead." And that is as solid of a wisdom as there is. Our decisions change the paths ahead of us, absolutely. You see that in politics, as elected officials often don't know what to do or how to go about fulfilling their campaign promises because they are traveling a completely different lifeline that is alien to them. Once liars get elected, they become completely incompatible with their entire environment, and often all they can do is enjoy the prestige. They just golf and give speeches that somebody else wrote. And if they do give their own speeches, then they are just changing words or quotes written by somebody else, as they are unable to navigate complex concepts in the context that they are in. They don't have real education or any idea what to do. They didn't earn their position with hard work and wisdom. They just have enough money to stay on the election carousel for long enough to get picked and then voted on all the way up. For almost 100 years now, we have been living in something far worse than climate change and pollution. A state of mutually assured destruction. And without a single politician who ever cared to authentically undo that. They probably just never thought about it. Finally, movie wisdom does not really work because it is just a snippet, part of a business product crafted to sell movie seats and appeal to people who aren't really there to think about anything, who are trying to get away from their daily life, really. It is a disconnected snippet, one taken out of context and out of the place where it was originally created. In narrated non-fiction books, things are a lot different. A well-written book will always push you through minor wisdoms and observations to put you in the context of some greater wisdom so that you can really understand it in full. There, you can immediately take it and add it to your decision-making or your existing wisdom. A well-crafted book won't just give you a snippet, but rather gradually introduce you to a lifetime of fully functional, integrated wisdom from which you will be able to pick and choose in such a way as to match who you are and what you need and what you may need later on in life as you revisit the book. There is, however, a great problem. This is a problem of comprehending books. Because comprehension is nearly impossible when one is stressed out or frightened. It is quite difficult when one is always tired and very tedious in any state other than serenity. Now, to achieve the state of serenity from which you can begin to freely inherit from entire lifetimes of wisdom, you will need adventure, or as Thoreau would say, the woods. The state of serenity is found under the naked stars, away from liars and pretenders and half-measures and fake teachers and crappy professors and all other forms of stress. Just to underline how important it is that you begin hiking as soon as possible, listen to Bukowski's All the Way. The sooner you start, the less you will have to lose. But you know, it is Thoreau that helps us see life as a whole and why we need wisdom and why we need the woods. I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. I did not wish to live what was not life. Living is so dear. Nor did I wish to practice resignation, unless it was quite necessary. I wanted to live deep and suck out all the marrow of life, to live so sturdily and Spartan-like as to put to rout all that was not life, to cut a broad swath and shave close, to drive life into a corner and reduce it to its lowest terms. Lastly, to grow up means to grow all the way up until you become a great being. That's really what wisdom is for.